Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
has held us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing.
And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shows together. We're gonna polish up our act. Well, and if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing stand in your way. I want y'all to listen, listen.
Every word I say, every word I say. No, no, no.
We're on the
move. We're moving.
Small churches. of this recording. Amen. great Reverend James Cleveland, one of my mentors on the piano. Small churches and city auditoriums. God, he said, the Great Commission, go in to the world and preach my gospel.
So to speak, of indifference. And he did not anticipate his tragic end, however, because the Lord of those talents came back at an unsuspected time The danger of it all is that you are given the control and the management of this investment that God has made in you.
Yes.
And that you are left on your own. God doesn't stand around and punch you. That is, literally, he doesn't to see what you're doing and how you're going to do. He merely lets you know that you are responsible for my investment.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
And that I'm holding you accountable.
Yes.
And that one day I will be back.
Yes.
And you must report to me.
Yes.
For everything that you've done.
Yes.
And how you have invested what I have given you. And I said the danger of it is you own your own. You own your own. But you know, sometimes some people cannot stand to be on their own. Some people cannot stand responsibility. Some people cannot make good managers, it appears. Some folk are waiting for the first opportunity. As soon as the boss takes his eye off them, they're searching. Hiding. Marking time. But that is dangerous. Because the boss of your life, the giver of your life, the investor that has invested in you, not what you should do, and know what he has made you capable of doing.
Yes.
Pray with me if you please.
Yes. Yes.
You're talking about a time clock. He has put one within all of us.
Yes.
He know when you punch in and when you punch out.
Yes.
He know whether you are late or on time.
Yes.
Pray with me, there's no escape. And if you are lying down on the job, if you haven't punched in for the last year or so, if you haven't reported for duty for the last month or so, he know it tonight. You can't escape. He's made an investment in you. It is not left up to you to do what you want to do with it. You've got to one day account for the deeds done in your body. Why, I often say that when I look down on the casket and see those two little startling words, at rest, doesn't always mean that the person that's in there is at rest. It sometimes means the home that he came out of is at rest. Now that he's gone. Or now that she's gone. Sometimes it means that husband is at rest. Sometimes it means that wife is at rest. Now that they have laid you out. Are you praying with me? Sometimes it means that the church where he was a member is now at rest. Because they kept up so much confusion. Sometimes it means the neighbors or the people with whom they work are now at rest. Now that you're gone. So brothers and sisters, we should all remember that there is one who has an all-seeing eye and who knows what investment he's made in us. He knows whether or not he left with us one talent or whether or not he left with us two. He knows whether or not he's left with us five. You see what I'm talking about? And he know exactly what our report should be.
Yes, yes.
That is, if it is a faithful report.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that all of us, and especially those of you who have wandered away, and who simply think because you're getting by that you've gotten away.
Yes.
Well, remember, you may be getting by, but that doesn't mean you have got away.
Yes.
prayer with me if you please. I've seen people who committed crime and have gotten by for several years. And one day when they feel safe, satisfied and secure, why the FBI walk up and tap them on the shoulder and tell them exactly who they are and what they've done and where they did it. There was a man who gotten by but who didn't get away. And you talking about an FBI system. Why, my God has the best the world has ever known. He had all kind of agents working for him. Sickness worked for him. And it's sometime one of his detectives. Oh, Lord. And sometime misfortune worked for him. And sometime trouble will arrest us for him. And I don't believe you know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord. Why, sometime, why, experiences about our family life works on God's side. You may feel because you're getting by, you've gotten away. Oh, Lord, if you're wasting your life and wasting your time, if you've forsaken God and like a prodigal went away from home into the far country of pleasure and into the far country of revelry, remember, great God, if you don't mind out like Jonah, great God, you know Jonah thought he'd gotten by too, you know, and thought he'd gotten away too. Oh, Lord, but the Lord called his detective to win and then called another one of his officers, the clouds, and spoke to another one of his agents, the sea, and made that old sea boil like a potter and made the wind roll themselves into a hurricane. I don't believe you know what I'm talking about tonight. Oh, Lord, my God, great God, whispered to a whale and told him to be a submarine for him and keep up with that ship until he got Jonah convinced. Holy God Almighty. Oh, Lord. And eventually Jonah had to come on up. Why? He bought his ticket and then went down below deck. Pray with me if you please. And hid from the crowd and from the passengers and lay down and went to sleep. And trouble arose on the old vessel. Nobody knew what was going on or who was responsible. Nobody knew that Jonah was on board. You know, sometime the vessels of our lives are rocking because there is a Jonah on board. You may not know who I is or who he is, but all of the shaking and all of the trouble that you are having is because there's a Jonah on board somewhere. Oh, Lord. But the Lord made the wind, the lightning and the thunder. The sea worked for him to bring Jonah out. Oh, Lord. He may be working on you, and you may think you are hid in the hall of life. And the reason why the storms of life are raging around you, God is trying to bring you out of where you belong and where you promised to be. I don't think you know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord, you ought to do like Jonah. Great God. You know, Jonah cost the ship so much trouble. Yes, he did. They had to throw off supplies into the sea. They had to drown medicine and food that was intended for innocent people in the far country. Oh, Lord. But on the account of Jonah, they had to waste it all. Well, you may be causing other people to suffer because you are Jonah. Oh, come on up. Yeah. And do like Jonah did. Come on up on board. Yeah. And tell the world, I know I'm wrong. Yeah. I know I've been running away. Yeah. I know I've been hiding. Oh, Lord. I know why I'm going through all that I am going through. The Lord is my God. I don't even know what I mean tonight. Oh, Lord, if I were you tonight, wherever you are, if I'd been a Jonah, if I'd been like one of the talent men who've been laying down on a job, oh, I mean right now, even right where you are, right in your home, I'd make up in my mind, right now.
So everybody put your hands together like this. That's it, we're gonna have a good old church. Can I hear the guitar? The guitar, please, come on. A little bass, please.
Exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy from these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The prophet and the valley of dry bones. Among those who were carried away was a young man by the name of Ezekiel, who had obviously been trained to be a priest. When we study his minute descriptions of the temple order and of the temple liturgy, when we read of his intimate knowledge of things directly or indirectly concerned with Judaism, we must conclude that he had formal training as a priest. But along with the vision that Ezekiel reveals here, along with others that he records in his book, one thing he wanted to convince Israel of, that her God had not fallen, and her God was not dead. He wanted Israel to understand that her God, as he depicts in the vision where he saw the vague outline of a man sitting upon a chariot throne, engulfed in a cloud, and with priestly functionaries going in and coming out from the mercy seat. He was saying, we told him about wheels that he saw in the middle of wheels, and that these wheels were guarded by angels, and that these wheels had eyes, and that these wheels did not deviate from their course. He was telling Israel first about the overruling providence and power of God, and about Israel was a part of God's eternal plans and purposes. While Israel was one wheel, ever moving, and above that was another wheel, that was the Babylonian wheel. It was moving. And that above that was another wheel, which was God's universal wheel, and God's universal plan. And all of these wheels were moving, because all of God's plans are always moving. Maybe you think you have stopped him. Maybe you think you have blocked him. Maybe you can't see the movement. But God's plans never stand still. You can't bother them and you can't stop them. For the writer here tells us that angels were in God. Tell them if you please. So, to Israel, we see in this vision, Babylon was a desolate place. Babylon represented a valley to Israel. A valley of depravity. A valley of disfranchisement. A valley of hopelessness. A valley of dry bones. A valley of lifelessness. In one of the great cities of the ancient time, Babylon to Israel was a valley. Someone might marvel, if Babylon was a great city, how could it be regarded by the Israelites as a valley? Well, you see, a city may be one thing to one people or a contrast may mean one thing to one people and altogether another thing to another people. When the white Europeans came to this country, embarked upon these shores, America to them was a land of promise, was a mountaintop of possibility, was a mountaintop of adventure. But to the Negro, when he embarked upon these shores, America to him was a valley. A valley of slavehood, a valley of slavery and oppression, a valley of sorrow, so that often we have to say, will it be a day? I'm going to eat at the feast and pray. One of these days, the chariot of God will swing low.
I wish I had somebody here praying with me.
So that Babylon to Israel was a place of hopelessness. It was a valley of dry bones. Well, the prophet tells us, and considering a prophet, what is a prophet anyway? Since the prophet was God's representative, God's ambassador, God's watchman there in Babylon. You know, and the word prophet can be interchanged with the word preacher. For a prophet is a preacher. And a preacher ought to be a prophet. Not a prophet such as we are told and talk about sometimes. Not a funny person. Not somebody with their head tied up or selling luck or anything like that. Not that kind of prophet. But I mean a real prophet. A prophet called of God. A prophet born of God. A prophet sent from God. A prophet inspired of God. For a prophet is one who knows the past, who understands the present, and out of his knowledge of the past and his insight of the present, he's able to predict the future. A prophet is one who has sight, insight, and foresight. With sight, he looks on things. With insight, he looks into things. With foresight, he looks beyond things. Such a man was Ezekiel. And he uses the symbol of a valley to describe Israel's Babylonian situation. The symbol of a valley. But you see, a valley suggests a low place between mountains. And to Israel, there were obstructing mountains surrounding her. Her situation in Babylon. Economic mountain. Social and political mountain. Religious mountain. Encircled and enclosed her in. And she was down there in the stagnant air of a valley in Babylon. So that he said that he was in the spirit. And that gives validity to it, you know. People speak a little bit about the spirit now. But I'm afraid that the church is losing a great deal of its spiritual consciousness. It wasn't unusual for folk to say when I was growing up as a boy, the Spirit told me to do certain things. Or I was led by the Spirit to do certain things. So that this prophet with a spiritual mind, a spirit-filled, God-conscious prophet. And he said, while being in the spirit, the Lord led him out to the valley. And then led him to the midst of the valley and sat him down in the midst of it. But he was really saying that God led him to the heart of Israel's problem and in the situation in battle. That's what he was saying. God took him in a thought-doing service, in a thought-doing analysis and understanding of Israel's Babylonian situation. And when the Lord had led him to the heart of Israel's problem, set him down there, then for fear that way out on the periphery of things, he'd miss something. Then the Lord led him round and about the valley, or took him and encompassed the valley, circled it on all sides, that he might not miss the remotest problem of Israel's situation. And when the survey was far and complete, the Lord poured the question to him. Son of man, son of man, I wish you could hear me. Can these bones live? That son of man seemed to be reminiscent of man's limitation, reminiscent of man's finiteness, man's humanity. Son of man, son of man, you are a scholar. You are an educator. So man, you are a scientist. Can these bones? So man, you are an engineer. Can these bones live? So man, you are a heart specialist. So man, you are a geologist. You are a botanist. You are a specialist in various stages of the human body. You are a psychologist and psychiatrist. You know all about drives and reactions and responses and tendencies. Know with all of this knowledge, can you tell me, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Son of man, you found pathways in the air. You have circumvented the earth. Son of man, you found highways upon the sea. And you made your own highways under the sea. Can these bones live? Live. Bit of life. Oh, we know a lot of things. We know what the human problems are. We know men are mean. We know men are prejudiced. We know that men are narrow-minded. And we know they are selfish. We know men are unkind, ruthless, and cruel. We know men are murderers and sinful. But what we don't know is what to do about it. But we know what the problem is. We've made an analysis of it. We've already diagnosed the case. But what we can't do is write a prescription. I wish I had somebody here praying with me. So that the prophet had to say, "Lo, problems, when it comes to a solution to these problems, Lord, thou knowest. I submit myself before you, limited, finite, ignorant and helpless, like dry bones in a valley. And thou knowest. Thou hast the answer. And you know that one thing about God. When we go to him sincerely, when we've been overwhelmed by some problem that we aren't able to grapple with, put it at his feet. Ultimately, if we have faith, he'll give us the answer. He'll work it out for us. And Ezekiel declared that he didn't know. And it was in the hands of God to give the answer. Why, the Lord, after Ezekiel had surveyed and had gotten a full understanding of what the Babylonian problem was, why, he said to him, why, you go out if you want the answer and preach to those dry bones. The Lord, it looks like a helpless thing. It looks like an unprofitable thing for me to go out and preach to dry bones. Some of the living soul that I preach to don't respond to me. And what could I expect from dry bones? But the Lord has been to go on out and preach anyhow. You know, God's ways, you know, are above man's ways. And you can't always understand why he orders you to do certain things. But if the Lord orders you to go on anyhow, why, you may not see it, but there is a way. You may not know what you're doing, but God has it worked out. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord. And I saw that man go out in that valley. In that valley of dry bones. Of dry bones. Oh, Lord. And stood there. And preached to those dry bones. The Lord had given him a text to preach on. Well, Lord, what can I preach to dry bones about? Oh, Lord. Lord, what kind of subject can you drop on to hear the word of the Lord? To hear the word of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm sure it must have been discouraging sometime for him to stand there day and night and preach in that valley of dry bones, to preach in that valley of helplessness, and in that valley of lifelessness, in that valley of hopelessness. My Lord, to stand there and preach and not be able to see what the result would be. Oh, Lord, but he preached on anyhow. Oh, yes. And then one morning, the valley began to rumble. Yes, it did. One morning, the valley began to shake. And that was a mighty moving around. Oh, Lord. Then one morning, yeah, when he looked around to observe this rumbling, where God, he saw the rabbit in motion. Yeah. Foot bones was stretching out ankle bones. An ankle bone was moving on toward knee bone. Oh, yeah. And knee bone was connected with thigh bones. And thigh bone was moving on toward hip bones. And hip bones were moving toward backbone. Yes, they were. And backbone was joining the shoulder bone. And shoulder bone was tying with neck bone. And neck bone was tying into head bone. Oh, the prophet kept on
on preaching. Yes, he did. Kept on preaching. Oh, Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said, wait a minute now. I want you to preach on a new theme. Yeah. I want you just to wait a little while. And let me extract matter from the universe. Yeah. And let me all of that matter to come together and form man's anatomy. Let flesh get on the bone. Let skin begin to cover those skeletons. Oh Lord. But Lord, all we have now are corpses lying on the ground. Turn now and get to the wind. Tell the wind that God will be with you. Lord, Lord. And throw blessings to these bodies. Lord. Tell the Lord. Tell my word. And that's my solution tonight. That's my answer tonight to every problem that we have. That is to hear God's word. Hear God's word. It's all right to go to the United Nations. It's all right to put on the international fellowship. It's all right to call on the sky. Call on our business. It's all right. But I tell you what you had better do. Hear God's word. Hear God's word. His word. His word. His word. His word. He's a bridge in deep water. His word. He's a lamp to your soul. Yes. His word. Ah, his word. Hear God. Hear God's word.
Come on!